Good evening, and welcome to Release Your Wings. I'm Dan Bagley, and tonight I'm interviewing again Shireen Chadha of the Brahma Kumaris. And our topic is overcoming anger. So, Shireen, does anger serve any usefulness to us as a society or as individuals?
No.
Well, good, short program.
No. I feel that one of the myths, and actually maybe this myth comes from mythology, is that anger is good, because it's kind of like accepted, you know, in the Greek mythology, in Indian mythology, all the gods and the goddesses, all of them got angry, the sages got angry and did all of these things. So people think it's okay for them to get angry. But I feel no, it's really detrimental to society right now.
So I get a sense that sometimes we believe, possibly through these myths, that anger shows you care more. I'll show you how angry I am, and that shows I care. For example, there's been some criticism of the president that with the BP oil spill, he didn't get angry enough. I saw recently a senator saying, when the prime minister of England comes here, I want to talk to him and let him know how angry I am. I'm wondering, is that useful?
No, I think there are really better ways of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing we have to do is really accept that anger is not useful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that when I create what we call an impression, when I create a habit of anger, it's kind of like an addiction. And it apparently releases the same hormonal things that addictions do. That's
sure.
why, let's say, why people get addicted to cigarettes or alcohol, because something happens in the brain chemistry, and anger also does the same thing. And so because we are addicted and we feel that there's no other way, that we feel that that's the way to show it, but there's so many other more productive ways of showing that you care.
So someone from the inside is saying, of course I get angry. Look what happened. Look at traffic or something. You're saying that, in truth, it isn't the traffic that makes us angry. It's what we predispose ourselves to respond or react to things.
Right.
Is that right?
Right. You know what I've noticed about anger is when you create an impression, like, for example, you create a habit. You do it a few times. You create a habit. And it doesn't, the situation will go away. You'll think, oh, because of traffic, I'm getting angry. But if the situation goes away, that impression or that habit stays with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, it doesn't go away. So it's like, what it's doing is it's kind of putting a veil over you.
So that veil probably keeps us from seeing good alternatives in the present moment as opposed to making us sharper. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. And also people think that they can get more work done.
Yeah.
And so that's another illusion, that they can think that they can get more work done. But no, I mean, I feel people who get angry, people just run away from them.
Ah, good point. So I got my way because I got anger. Is that a good tool or not?
No, I think that's a lazy tool.
Yeah. So, I, you know what, I hadn't thought about this till this moment, but in pet training, the key is, you know, you're the master of your dog, let's say. But the real question a pet trainer, an animal trainer, presented to me is, does your dog trust you? Your dog will love you no matter how badly you treat it. But will your dog trust you? And that is, I want to please you, not that I'm afraid if I don't. Is that how people are?
Like that. But I was thinking more that we have to examine our own personal relationships with anger than examining what other people think about my anger.
Tell me more about that.
The first thing is that I understand why. If I wanted to overcome anger, then I have to make sure that I have a sense of understanding of why, that when my expectations are not met, when I want to control, all of those things are conditions or situations that make me get angry.
So let's talk about some of those. Certainly getting attached to an outcome can make us angry because we get frustrated.
Frustrated.
Probably feeling that we're not being appreciated. is something that I hear people say that made me angry. Is that, does that match your expectation or not?
Yeah, that, yes, or that I want to control how they appreciate or when they appreciate me.
So that makes it sound like it's an internal proposition.
Yeah, internally. And one of the thing is that once I accept that it's really not good for me, then I can go through the understanding of it, of how and why and where and all of those things. So the first step is, of course, acceptance that it's not good. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm using it as a weapon, and when I use this as a weapon, that weapon actually destructs me. Even if I'm using it as a weapon on other people, eventually that weapon destructs me.
So, in a funny way, gang violence is a putting a system of anger in point, that this is our area. If anyone comes in, then we will shoot them or fight them or something like that. So it sounds to me like groups, societies, even nations can, in a funny way, get angry or have a way of dealing with things that are anger-based.
Right. I think that's why we go to war. And that's, you see the really detrimental effects of war is, I mean, millions of people die and there's no real reason except people got angry about something.
And so one person striking, then the other person strikes back, and let's move it to the Hatfields and McCoys, the feud that went for a long, long time in early America.
Right.
And each one believed the other one was gotten the last hit.
Right. And so I was thinking, so first is accepting that I shouldn't use it as a weapon, then understanding why and what is making me angry. If it is that I'm not being appreciated, if it is that I want to control, if it is I have expectations out of a situation, that's the other part. And I feel that the next part is about not playing the blame game.
Ah. The blame game means that I'm not responsible, but say you are.
Right.
For my unhappiness.
Right. And I feel whatever the reasons are, that I shouldn't give excuses for becoming angry. There could be many reasons.
Right.
But if I train myself in a way that I don't give excuses for getting angry, then it's easier to overcome.
So within that context, if we blame others for, quote, making us angry, look what you made me do, that's a rejection of personal responsibility, but it also furthers the whole belief that anger is necessary. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and also, right, this whole illusion, it feeds the illusion, but also what happens is you don't realize what is it that your mistake is in the whole thing. And that's what is very important, because if we have to change, we have to first realize our own mistakes.
Right. So in doing that, does that make us wrong if we acknowledge our own mistakes, or does it make us closer to right?
Actually closer to right, because maybe acknowledging we are wrong could be that we are right.
So the Brahma Kumaris are pretty good at not being angry, it appears to me, as somewhat of an outsider. How do you handle that? Because I know, because you're human, you run into frustrations, people don't show up or say they're going to do something and don't. How do you personally get, or as an organization, get past the frustration of a moment?
Organizationally, we have very good elders, like Dadi Janki and Dadi Gulzar, or Sister Moini, all of them. They, the way they administer, the way they handle situations is very much based on love. So that's why, as an organization, they set very good examples. You know, I remember there was this time in Tampa when I was having major issues with someone who was coming to the center. But under no conditions would Sister Moini give me permission to say that to ask the person not to come.
I understand. So part of the thing is, did you recognize that this was your issue at some point?
Yeah.
Are they still someone you just hate to have? No.
No, I did. But for me, more it was how it was affecting the whole center.
Got it.
But the way we handle it, I think it's very different. That the way they handle it is very different, and maybe it's partly because it is administered by mostly women.
Interesting thing. So in the yin and yang balance in Taoism, a little more yin sometimes maybe diffuses the anger, whereas let me take control and make this happen right now is not as helpful.
Yeah.
So do you use meditation to calm?
Personally myself, yeah. Okay, we were talking about organizationally. Personally myself, I have realized a few things. One is that every morning, if I take a tablet, and this tablet is of love, peace, and patience.
Yeah, let me clarify here. We're not talking about a medication tablet. We're talking about a way of approaching life.
Yeah.
So repeat that again, please.
Of like a consciousness tablet.
Yeah.
Of love and peace and patience.
Love, peace, and patience.
And so, and what we mean by that is that I become aware of them. So as soon as I wake up, that I set my day right. As soon as I wake up, I start thinking about love. I start thinking about peace. I start thinking about patience. I don't think about not getting angry.
Right, got it.
I think about these things. And then as I move through the day, then I'm able to go over. If any situation comes, then I reflect back on my experience of love, on my experience of peace, and my experience of patience.
So what I hear is when you focus on love, peace, and patience, you're focusing on what you want as opposed to focusing on avoiding what you don't want.
Right.
That is anger.
Right.
So, because if you're working to avoid anger, then you got to bring the anger to consciousness. Is that I'm hearing here?
Right. And also there has to be this commitment to transform, this commitment that I have to change, because anger really destroys our peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I have this commitment that I'm going to bring peace, I'm going to bring love, and I'm going to bring patience into my life, then everything really sets itself right, especially with anger.
So some people will cover the symptom, put on the artificial smile. No, I'm not angry with you. Yet, in a funny way, you suspect that maybe anger is renting a room in their mind.
Right.
And so, does that mean that if you do feel anger, you have to acknowledge that you've moved away from peace and acceptance and love?
Yes, yes. Also, it's good not to suppress. So if I am really upset, but also it's good not to totally vent on someone. What I was thinking is, if I am angry, is to move away, to acknowledge, yes, I'm in a space of anger, but also to remember that I'm not going to use this as a weapon anymore. I'm going to remember that I'm not going to play the blame game anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm going to remember that I'm not going to create this habit, this impression. I'm not going to feed this addiction anymore. And then start remembering the love and the peace. And
so using it as a weapon is an interesting thing, because I suspect some people do feel more powerful in the moment of anger.
Yes, it is. That's the illusion.
Yeah,
right.
That is the illusion. And I suspect I've known some very nice people that didn't get angry until a point, and then they just totally lost it. I suspect that's from suppressing
for a long period of
time. For a long period of time, and then just throwing a hissy fit or just going nuts.
But also in relationships, right, we are kind of a community. As a community, we need each other. So in relationships, if a relationship is really making you angry, it's definitely important to communicate that.
Yeah.
But in a way that is not going to hurt anyone. Or, at this point, not hurt anyone.
Yeah.
In a way that is not going to incite more anger in the other person.
So part of this, it seems like, is being unconditionally peaceful, unconditionally loving, unconditionally patient. And if you do that, I mean, pretty soon the other person has a space to feel less antagonistic or less...
Here, the unconditionally loving is to the self, not to the other person.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel there are conditions to love. So if people are going to come and punch me in the nose, I'm...
You're not going to love them as much.
I'm going to move away.
Yeah.
It's not going to be unconditional.
So within that, can you love someone but not love their behavior?
Yeah, definitely.
So within that, there's something you said just a moment ago, loving self. So with the anger, it seems to me that like maybe all of the anger we project onto others may at some point be a discomfort within ourselves.
Right. Or that it's a impression, it's a habit. It's my habit.
Yeah.
And that habit is disguising as an illusion that it's someone else's fault.
So if we see a lot of enemies on the outside, that's probably our own projection rather than the reality.
Right. Right. Because we have habituated ourselves to doing these things.
Uh-huh. So within the context of, if there were one thing that you would, a gift relating to overcoming anger, that you could say, here's my present to you, and it can have several pieces to it, what might that be?
I was thinking this one thing would be a good relationship with God. And also that in that relationship with God, that I don't think about problems, but I think about God. So each time I'm getting angry, I don't think about problems, but I think about God. I think about, appreciate Him and His presence and what He does, or a higher power or a supreme being, something other than yourself and the situation. And so, then it's easier to overcome it.
So you look at the ultimate big picture. And that is God in all creation. Is that the magnificence of your relationship with God?
Yeah, that my in my relationship with God, in my acceptance of that, that relationship is bringing me sweetness.
Got it.
In that, that I'm not, if I stay in that pure feelings, in that good feelings for God, then I'm not really being affected by situations in front of me.
Right. Well, here we are. We've opened up a whole new approach here with relationship with God in the last minute of our discussion here. So possibly, let's just agree to continue this in another segment for another evening. All right?
All right.
We will be back on this topic, starting with, it's about overcoming anger. And we're going to include the very personal piece of the spiritual dimension of that. Thank you for joining us.